You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Got Dolphins, Jaguars coming up tonight. Lakers at the Nuggets. Heat beat the Celtics. They go up 3-1. Tyler the Hero with 37 points. And here we are again with another Steph Curry comparison. It was Jamal Murray a couple of days ago, and now it's Tyler Hero. And you have Andre Iguodala has made it to 5 straight NBA finals with the Splash Brothers in Golden State, has a chance to go back to another NBA finals. And he wanted to make this comparison, but he was really clear about this, that he says, I won't compare them. Tyler Hero and Steph Curry, I'm not going to compare them, but they definitely have, and I'm trying to find the right word, the way they can handle the ball and get into their shots. Tyler shows some resemblances there. I'm not saying they're the same, but there are some resemblances in that he can get his shot pocket off the dribble and off the shoot and catch, which is rare that guys have both those features in their games. 20 years of age, 37 points. When Steph Curry was 20, he probably put up 37 points a few times, but one of those was against Appalachian State. Not quite the same going up against the Celtics. Plus, he's going against an all-NBA defender in Marcus Smart. Keep that in mind as well. He was great. He had 21 shots. Didn't seem to force them. He made 14 of them. Ended up with 37 points at the ripe old age of 20. Here's Tyler Hero after the game.
Like Coach said, the biggest thing is my teammates from top to bottom trust me, from the oldest guy to the youngest guy. And that's big. Not all vets are like that. And they really shine light on me. Ever since I've been to Miami, Jimmy's been the biggest influence for me. And he just continues to teach me and help me. So without my teammates, I don't think any of that would be possible, especially as a rookie.
And keep in mind, Tyler Hero and some of these other players have grown up on Steph Curry. They're impacted by Steph Curry. Like, you watch and you know that Steph Curry had an influence on a lot of these young players. His impact on the sport is going to be immeasurable. Steph Curry, the impact of younger players, smaller players, a great handle getting your shot off and shooting deep. Because, look, we can't be like Shaq. We can't be like LeBron. We can't be like Michael. There's a feeling that we can be like Steph Curry. Even though we can't, there is that feeling, and that's the impact that he's had on this sport. Here's Brad Stevens, the Celtics head coach, on Tyler Hero.
Hero's shot making tonight was, in addition to the things we just talked about that were our own issues, was the difference in the game. Jimmy was great late. Adebayo was his typical self, and Dragic made some big plays, but Hero was, ridiculously good tonight. The rim must have looked like the ocean to him.
And that happens. Shooters talk about being in the zone. Hitters talk about being in the zone, where you get in and you don't feel anything. But he made tough shots. And I think that's where the comparisons or the resemblance with Steph Curry is hitting the shot that's not just a, always feels like Klay Thompson is a catch and shoot, and he's always under control. Steph, it doesn't look like he's under control very often. And you saw that with Tyler Hero last night. But also the willingness for the other players on that team to let him be the star at age 20 in a game. That would never happen 15 years ago, where you'd say, let's feature the rookie. And here you have a Miami Heat team, and it starts with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic have no problem sharing the ball. Duncan Robinson, another great three-point shooter. Bam Adebayo is, 23 years of age. To let the younger players have their moment. So when they get to a moment like this, it's not too big for them. And I do think being in the bubble has sort of chipped away at any of that pressure that you might feel or that buildup of pressure. It's not, there's not this enormity that's kind of hovering over you. Or, hey, I'm 20. I'm in the playoffs. Like, I got a chance to go to the NBA Finals. So what? Feed me the ball. Hey, I'm making shots. And he was taking over the game. I don't know what it means for the next game. I think he had 22 in the previous game. So obviously he's found something there. But he's tall, he's long, with a good handle, and he has that confidence level. And this is where I see Kyle Kuzma, not the same player, not the same skill level, but I'm waiting for Kyle Kuzma to have a moment like this. Now, he plays with LeBron and Anthony Davis, so you start with, you know, two top-heavy stars on a team, and I, you know, maybe it's difficult for him to find his spot or feel like he can shoot or he's allowed to shoot. But if I'm a Laker fan, this is what I'm waiting for with Kyle Kuzma, to have a couple of these games where you go, wow, that's impressive. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Update the poll results if you can, McLovin.
I still have the redraft poll up, 2019 NBA draft. Who are you taking, Hero, Zion, or Ja Morant? It's still Ja Morant, but Zion is catching up to him.
Yeah, I would still take Ja. I think he's going to get stronger. He'll add that shot, outside shot to his game, but he's a slasher there. Zion, I'm just not sure. I'm fascinated, but if I'm banking on long-term success, I'm probably going Ja Morant with his body over Zion Williamson's. Yeah, McLovin.
I made the argument to Paulie off mic that Ja Morant's a 2004 NBA player, a two-point player, and Tyler Hero's a 2020 player. Now, I don't know if that's always going to be true, but...
I want to see, if I put Tyler Hero on Memphis, are they making the playoffs?
No.
Ja Morant on Miami is going to improve them because he's a better player now. He's a more consistent player now. That doesn't mean Tyler Hero at age 25. We're not looking back going, wow, we actually had that argument and we went with Ja Morant. I don't know that. I will say that Tyler Hero, it feels like, you know, he's getting better right in front of our very eyes. He can lead the team in rebounding. He can lead the team in assist in a game. Like, he has that capability there. And he's not playing heavy minutes. He didn't play heavy minutes during the season, like 24 minutes a game. But in these times, in these moments, and you're going against Marcus Smart, all NBA defender, you know, those are things that veterans, you try to get veterans to do. The Lakers and Nuggets tonight, I mentioned two things I'm going to keep an eye on. And if you said, hey, the Lakers won the rebounding battle and LeBron shot more than 10 free throws, then I'm going to assume the Lakers are going to win this game. Because if Denver's going to control the boards and LeBron's not going to get to the line, you're going to leave that window open for Denver to steal another game. Yeah, Paulie.
You know, I look at the box scores every night, and you know, plus minus in the box scores, they give like almost like a rating for a player beyond his stats. They do a thing called plus minus. I don't really know what goes into it. I look at it like everybody else goes, oh, man, he must have had a good game based off plus minus. Tyler Hero's plus minus for his game last night, where he had 37 points and 6 rebounds, was -4. How does that work?
Hmm.
So he had a below average game last night?
I got to ask McLovin. He's the stats nerd.
Well, plus minus is the simplest thing. Whose score is more when you're on the court? It's not even an analytic.
So but when he was on the court, his team was outscored.
Right, because it was a game of runs, and he was on the court when the Celtics made their big second half run. When Tatum started.
Tatum playing great.
Hitting shot.
In the second half.
You know who's plus minus is really good? Bam is. I think Bam has a really good plus minus. He's a huge problem.
+8 last night.
Yeah.
I feel like every time the shot goes up, it takes 3 Celtics to box him out, then they don't get the ball.
The only problem I have with the plus minus is it doesn't judge you individually. It judges the collection of your teammates when you're on the floor. And that's not a fair assessment.
But it's more accurate than like points, because points, you might take 30 shots to get 8 points for your team, but you're killing your team.
Would you say that Tyler Hero was a positive for Miami last night?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I think that's fair to say.
But I don't think he was the only reason they won, though.
Not according to the stats, though.
Yeah.
We had our Kevin Harlan contest, of course, the great voice from CBS and also the NBA on TNT. And in case you missed it, this is what it sounded like. It was a contest to determine who was Kevin Harlan and who wasn't. Todd Fritz, of course, taking part in this. And you decide who's Kevin Harlan. Final round here to decide the Kevin Harlan game.
If you're just joining us, Patrick Mahomes is at it once again. The Chiefs trailed by 20 at one point. Now they're down just 4 with under a minute to go. The single setback, Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes rolls back. He's got Travis Kelce in the back corner. Both feet in. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Wow, that was a great call, Kev. I mean, I'm not sure who made that call. Here's the final call.
If you're just joining us, Mahomes is at it again. Chiefs trail by 20. Now they're down just four with under a minute to go. The single back is Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes rolls right. He's got Kelce in the back corner. Bolts it in. Touchdown. The Chiefs have scored.
I think Fritzy sounded more like Kevin Harlan on Sunday than Kevin sounded like Kevin. Like, this is a Thursday, Kevin. You sounded like Kevin Harlan on Sunday, Todd.
It sounded to me, not to pour on, but it sounded like he was doing the road call, the team that was playing the Chiefs, the local broadcast of disappointment that the Chiefs just scored a touchdown.
Did we hear from somebody with this contest? What was the reaction to this?
There's a former NFL quarterback listening in Los Angeles who tweeted, wait, who was who? Harlan versus Fritzy, crying, smiley face emoji, talking head emoji, microphone emoji, football emoji, basketball emoji. Mark Sanchez. Six emojis on the tweet, which I like.
All right. I like that. Yeah, see.
It's tricky, to tough to tell.
The last one was a little bit tougher. The other ones, we could tell the difference. But I thought you out-Kevin'd Kevin for a call that would have been on Sunday afternoon.
It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
I appreciate you guys doing that.
Thank you, Tom.
Maybe Kevin just said, you know, it's like in-game. It's like, yeah, I get paid good money to do that. Who said that to you?
Oh, James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones. I get paid good money to do that.
I know. I had the audacity to ask him if he would say, you're listening to the Dan Patrick Show. And I said, you know, hey, Mr. Jones, would you be willing to do this? I get paid good money to do that. And I thought I would even accept that if he recorded it and we could use that as a drop. I get paid good money to do that.
Would you mind doing this liner for us?
No.
It's like, no.
Yeah.
I get paid good money to do that.
Well. Buzzkill. Phil in Indiana. Hi, Phil. Welcome back. What do you have for me today?
Dan, it's always a pleasure. I wanted to comment on Kevin Harlan. I thought, one, it was a great interview. But number two, I think the thing that I really like about that guy is he genuinely comes across that he really loves sports.
Yep.
And whatever game he's doing is like the biggest game of the day, no matter who's playing. I wanted to get your thoughts on that, Dan.
Yeah, I've always had that feeling with Kevin. And like, you know, Brent Musburger, I feel like it's so important to him when he's doing a game. And, you know, Mike Tirico has that ability where it's, you know, Tuesday, a Big Ten game, and he makes Penn State and Iowa sound like it's a Final Four. But those are people who just, they savor the moment. And you can just tell, like Doc Emrick savors the moment when he's calling Stanley Cup Final. Well, a regular season game. It doesn't matter. Preseason, he savors the moment because they understand, I think, their role to the sport they're covering. You know, they want you to be excited listening to them. And, you know, Kevin does that. Kevin, you know, he's got the Jets and the Colts, and he'll make it feel like it's the Super Bowl III between the Jets and Colts. Yeah, Paulie.
In Cincinnati growing up, or the area you lived in, was it mostly baseball announcers you heard on the radio, or was it everybody?
Just baseball, because we didn't have, you know, the Bengals weren't any good. So it's not like you had that voice you tuned into. I just remember baseball, that we had Al Michaels for a little while and then Marty Brenneman and Joe Nuxall. But I would listen at night where you could listen to baseball games, KMOX. I mean, there were certain stations that carried into Ohio, and you'd be able to hear these other announcers. Because I was always curious, like, I know what our guys sound like. Like, what does everybody else sound like? And then you would hear Jack Buck. You'd hear Harry Carey, Harry Callis. Like, there were just voices that you were able to listen to. And then I remember when, like, the first time I went to Los Angeles and I heard Chick Hearn, but I didn't get all the, like, the verbiage that he had. I didn't know exactly what he was referring to. And I kind of came away going, yeah, I don't get it. And then people in L.A. are like, how could you not get Chick Hearn? I go, I just didn't understand his references, some of them. And then you listen again and again, and then you realize what, you know, Chick is doing. You know, same thing with Vin. You know, Vin, you felt like Vin was talking to you when he was doing the game. Now, he's doing it for, you know, how many thousands of people listening to a game. I always felt like he was talking to me. Like, I almost, like, you could respond to him in real time, even though you couldn't. But they're, you know, they're signature voices. And I always go back. I have a soft spot in my heart for Ray Scott, who did the Green Bay Packers games. And he did it with simplicity. And I think if you listen to the show, you know that I'm big on that. You know, that get to the question and then get to the answer and just keep it simple. And Ray Scott called a game in a way that I had never heard before and never heard since. And it was just, he would just say, Star, Dowler, first down. Like, it wasn't anything that he had to build it up. He didn't overspeak, he didn't drive you crazy with stats. And Ray Scott's in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame with the NFL, but I grew up on that. That was the national game that we would get. And if Ray Scott was doing it, I just thought that's the way you did play-by-play. Now, obviously, it changed dramatically, but Ray Scott, if you ever get a chance to just listen to it, and the cadence, I love when you take a breath. I love when there's a pause. I like when there's silence. I like the audience to be able to absorb something, to lean in a little bit more. And some of those announcers, you know, Vin was able to do that. But you have to have a boss who lets you do that, who says that's okay. And Vin even joked when he was with us a couple of weeks ago. He was like, you know, the best compliment I got was a critic who said, and the best thing that Vin Scully added to this game was silence. And Vin took it as a positive. And I understand why. Because that ability to not say anything, as strange as that's going to sound, is an art. Because most of us, we want to talk. We get insecure. We want to just fill the screen or your ears with words. And you're an educated audience. We love when we stop. We pause. Breathe is what we like to say. And there's so many announcers who have been able to do that. All right, we'll take a break here. More phone calls coming up. It is Paulie's birthday. Oh, does he love hearing from you.
Yay! Happy birthday, Paul.
Yay! Are you one? Are you two? Are you three?
I'm gone.
Are you?
I think I'm gonna get a birthday cake and have Todd cut it, slice it up.
That was so entertaining last year. That made my birthday.
When people said Todd can't cut a birthday cake, is he joking? Is he putting us on? I go, no. No, he tried to cut it while it was still in the box.
And I got the birthday cake cutting for dummies book, and I watched on YouTube how it's done. I still couldn't process how that works.
And it's not a bit. It's not.
I wish it was.
Oh, no, I'm glad it's not.
You guys are glad it's not.
Yeah, but
I have to go function in the real world and have wives and, you know, sons and daughters watching me not do things. It's not good.
But you're not really in the real world because you don't do any of those things in the real world.
And I'm stuck like in 1986 anyway. So you combine those two things, I can't figure out the modern technology.
If you were home alone for a week,
would I be able to stay alive?
Yes.
Is that the question?
Yeah.
I think I would survive, but it's not a place you guys would want to visit by day three.
I might take the under on you survive.
Take the under. Nice.
All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. I think I'm going to send Tyler, the moderator, out to get a birthday cake there for Paulie.
Chocolate.
Ooh.
Everyone gets those vanilla birthday cakes. That's a big waste of time. Big waste of time.
Okay.
Too late?
No. No.
Oh.
I don't need a cake. The other guys can.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, thanks.
Maybe I use the cake on Seton.
Oh. Excuse me. I was taking a pie to the face.
Yeah.
The cake to the face. Oh,
well, I think that's in the category.
Is that in the pie family? Cakes?
Pudding? Pie? Cake?
Hey, pudding pie. What'd you call me?
Hey, pudding. All right, we'll take a break. It's 20 after the hour. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. We always give you a stat of the day. This is the best stat of the day. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. When it comes to great hires for your business, you're up against obstacles. A lot of applicants, difficulty finding the right ones for your job, finding the time to hire somebody while you're still running your business, and then you throw in workplace safety. That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team, no matter the industry, healthcare, manufacturing, business services. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier, and now Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. You post the job on ZipRecruiter. It gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you. They find the right people with the right experience for the job and invites them to apply. Try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. And remember, ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. I just saw this from our favorite soccer player, Zlatan. Zlatan just tweeted, I tested negative to COVID yesterday and positive today. No symptoms whatsoever. COVID had the courage to challenge me. Bad idea. You want Zlatan? You get Zlatan. Wow, that's great.
We miss him.
Yeah. You want Zlatan? You get Zlatan. All right, phone calls here. Let me see. Where do we go? How about Jesse in Los Angeles? Hey, Jess, welcome back. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP.
Hey.
Good morning, gents. And, Paulie, I appreciate your birthday enthusiasm also. but, Dan, before I ask my Lakers question,
okay.
I have to say congrats to Fritzy on rallying after bombing the mock headline segment because that Kevin Harlan sound-along contest was broadcasting gold. But I've been wanting to ask you if you're ready to bring back the hot take siren that scares me whenever I hear it on the road.
Ooh.
Because if LeBron and the Lakers somehow fail to get to the finals or fail to win the chip this year with the Clippers out and the Heat ready to advance, the outpouring by the media would be up there with when he did the decision. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, thank you. There it is. Yeah, people hated when we played the hot take siren. You start looking behind you. Where is my hot takes necklace?
Oh, the hot take chain.
Yeah.
It's around here.
It is around somewhere. It's hanging somewhere. But it could be any one of these.
I don't know. I thought I had it over by the bar.
Yeah.
Is Paulie getting it?
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think he's got it. Okay. The hot take chain.
Okay. The hot take. Paulie, put it on for your birthday today. You get the hot take chain on. That looks pretty good. We had a couple of people saying the real question is, can Kevin Harlan imitate Todd Fritz? Have Kevin come back on and read some Thanksgiving names in November.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to make that a top priority.
Or some mock headline. Yeah, let's see what Kevin Harlan can do trying to imitate Todd. Kyle in California. Hi, Kyle. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DP. I had this whole Lakers-LeBron thing. He's not losing to the Nuggets. And Hero, and I heard you talking about how the Lakers want Cruz to be like that. Almost made me spit out my water. That ain't happening.
No, I know, but they got to get more out of him on a consistent basis.
Oh, I mean, it would be awesome. I just don't see it happening. What we really needed from Kevin Harlan, I needed to hear an up high, down hard, or a buckle up for Kobe Bryant. Maybe Fritzy can give us one of those.
Ooh.
I was hoping we'd hear it from him.
Okay, well, I don't know if we were taking requests there, but thank you, Kyle. Yeah, I keep waiting for Kuzma to be a little bit more, and maybe he's not. Maybe he's not going to be able to. You know, maybe it's like Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball that he'll be better when he leaves the Lakers. I don't know. But, boy, if you had that luxury where you had that third guy you could always count on, how great would that be? Guy in Iowa. Hey, Guy, what's on your mind?
What's going on, guys? A couple quick hitters for you. First of all, it's my birthday today. So, Paulie's birthday. Appreciate it. Hopefully, you got some cake planned. I do brownies with peanut butter frosting rather than cake. It's a better way to go. You guys sent a shout out to my son who was graduating this year, enlisted in the Army. He did graduate, made it through basic and on to his Army career. Appreciate that. If you're a degenerate gambler, you're going to pick Zion. Because Zion has the biggest potential return and also the biggest potential bust. Another thing we've always talked about, don't bet against Bill Belichick. He got a chip on his shoulder, whether he'll admit it or not. And Cam Newton has a chip on his shoulder. And those two guys together are not going to allow the Bills to win that division, period.
Well, it'll be interesting. I still, you know, when Bill showed up at that press conference, I wanted him to walk in. And thanks for the phone call, Guy. I wanted Bill Belichick to walk into that press conference and say, you should see what the raccoon looks like. Like, because it looked like he had gotten into a fight with like a badger or something. And somehow he got out, he unscathed of sorts, but he had all those holes in his sweatshirt. You know, we love to have that vintage look. What's it called?
Like a distressed.
Distressed look. You know, should we start selling distressed sweatshirts like that? Holes all over the place.
Yeah, they go for like $400.
Oh, I know. I know. Belichick. He's got the chip on his shoulder there. Adam in Denver. Hi, Adam. What's on your mind today? By the way, I saw this quote from Adam Gase, the Jets head coach, on injury replacements. Quote, whoever has a pulse has to be ready to go. Boy, man, does he inspire. He inspires confidence there as they get ready to take on the Colts there. Hey, Adam, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, Dan?
Hey.
First time I called in was to debate with McLovin about Jokic being a pedestrian player in the postseason. I think we can finally put that debate to rest.
Yeah.
But you guys were talking about plus-minus rating, so I wanted to give a stat-of-the-day tease from the Nuggets Game 2 loss.
Okay. See, you want to hit the music here for Adam's stat of the day.
Jamal Murray played 44 of 48 minutes in that game. In that 44 minutes, he had a plus 16 rating, meaning in the 4 minutes Jamal Murray wasn't on the floor. The Lakers outscored the Nuggets by 18 points. Go Nuggets, suck it back row.
Very, very good. Well done, Adam. And he hit the post, too, while getting in a suck at back row. So thank you, Adam. Yeah, McLovin.
I want to take it back. Losing to the Lakers in 5 games is really something you should be proud of if you're a Nuggets fan.
Wow.
I mean, come on. Everyone thought the Lakers were going to sweep, but they handed them that game. So it's a huge accomplishment.
Are you guaranteeing they're going to win in 5?
Guaranteeing means if I get it wrong, something bad happens.
Of course.
Okay, I'll take a pie to the face.
Okay. I was going to suggest a crew cut.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No, we're not doing that. No, we're not. When we cut the design into the back of Paulie's head when he got a lightning bolt there.
My kids almost had to switch schools. I walked up to pick them up and they like circled the wagons like, get this guy out of here.
Actually, I'll take the Lakers to win the series.
No, that's not a big deal.
I don't want him in 5. I was just talking trash. That guy made me mad.
All right. Savvy in Pennsylvania. Hey, Savvy.
Dan, in 1954-1958, I was a student at Villanova. Television was in its embryonic stages, so you had to listen to Philadelphia radio. I had the privilege of 4 years listening to John Facenda, Jack Whitaker, and Ed McMahon. That was like dying and going to heaven.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you, Savvy. Yeah, I just don't know why John Facenda is not in the Hall of Fame. Your contributions to the game, he should be on that list. These are all people who are broadcasters. Or reporters, for the most part. And John Facenda's contribution to the game, it's right up there. I mean, when you talk about a singular voice, John Facenda's on that short list. Yeah, Paul?
I know it's a little apples and oranges, but Mel Allen was a famous Yankees announcer. I didn't grow up on Mel Allen. I was too young when he was the Yankees. But This Week in Baseball was a way for young people to get every baseball highlight throughout the week. And that's the only reason I knew Mel Allen's name. I was, 9, 10 years old. But he did this great show every week recapping baseball. And that kept his, I guess, legacy alive. And that's a big contribution to the youth of baseball.
Yeah, this Week in Baseball with Mel Allen. Yeah, McLovin.
I love your story about trying out for NFL Films. Oh, I don't know if you told that in a while. Yeah. But I could have seen that.
No, I didn't have it. Like, your voice has to be natural. And John Facenda had a voice that was just natural. Like, I can imitate John Facenda. But I was at CNN. And I drove down to New Jersey. Or really just outside of Philadelphia. And I went to NFL Films. I was doing a story on NFL Films. So I talked to Steve Sable. We followed their cameraman around. Donnie Marks, I think is his name. And so we were doing this feature on how NFL Films these games. And then the process of making them into their highlight packages. And I get there, and I see the broadcast, the recording studio, and the booth there that you go into and you would, you know, do these voiceovers. And I said, could I audition? And they said, well, yeah, like we don't have any jobs. And I said, but could I just do it? And then you have it, you know, just in case something comes up and you need a voice. And I went in there and I thought, how do I make my voice sound? Instead of just going, just do the voiceover. I was trying to be have a deeper voice. And I did this with NBA Entertainment. Don Sterling, who ran NBA Entertainment, would have me do all those, like, year-end Boston Celtics won the championship and you got to voice over things. Or the Atlanta Hawks 1984 season. And I'd have all these VHSs. And I would, so he always wanted me to have to lower my voice, and instead of just my regular voice. And I went in there and totally botched it with NFL Network. I tried to be John Facetta. I tried to, you know, do a voiceover like this. And instead of just having it just be your voice and then taking your chance like that, I was lowering it. It didn't go well. And then I didn't hear back from them either. So it's okay. I am over that. I am completely over it. Got over it, I think, about last year. Yeah, Paulie.
But you kind of did that. Was it a couple years ago, the show Turning Point on NBC Sports? Yeah. That was kind of your NFL films riff.
Not the same.
Not the same, but it was kind of like that because you voiced your way through a series of videos and a bit. Apples and oranges.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, McLeod.
I loved when they had every team got one highlight reel. So the team would be like 3-13 or something. At the very end, John Facenda or Harry Cowles would go like, but hope springs eternal in Tampa Bay. You know, even though you know they're going to stink next year. Yeah. We had assemblies where they'd show us the Eagles reel. I don't know if you guys had that as a kid. That was awesome.
No. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers end the season 3-13, but hope springs eternal. And I don't know why I wanted to do it. You know, I think because John Facenda sounded so great, and you wanted your voice to be part of history with those tapes. Like, John Facenda's voice is there forever, and nobody, you can't match that. Harry Callis came in after John Facenda, and he started doing NFL films. It wasn't the same. Like, John Facenda was just a news guy with a great voice. You know, Harry was a baseball guy and a football guy, but it was, you know, it's like going in after John Wooden and going, hey, I want to be the next head coach at UCLA. Yeah, good luck. I mean, that's really what it is, you know. And Harry's a Hall of Fame voice announcer, but John Facenda cornered the market on that. Yeah, Paul.
I'm curious. I would have to look it up. Does NFL Films do things like football follies anymore? Because in the 70s and 80s, Fritzy remembers, they put out these videotapes, and it was just a compilation of fumbles and trips and all that of the NFL season. And that's what kids loved. Yeah. We all grew up on that stuff. Yeah. I don't know if they do that now because they probably don't want to have like embarrassing clips of star athletes.
I don't know if they have those tapes where they emphasize the violence of the sport as well. I don't know if NFL Films puts out DVDs, you know. Yeah, see.
Well, that's like YouTube. Right, I mean, that's loaded with like good plays or bad plays, trick plays. You could search just about anything you want on there, and somebody's cut together a highlight reel of bad plays or whatever, fumbles.
We'll take a break. If you're watching on Peacock, Todd tried to cut Paulie's birthday cake, and
I didn't completely mangle it. It's far from, you know, I'm not going to be hired by a bakery anytime soon.
No, it's better than last year. Let's put it that way. Better than last year. But you're cutting like little bite-sized portions as the slice.
I didn't want to cut it too big because I wanted to make sure there was enough for everybody.
You got
to
go in the middle. You don't care about anybody else.
I kind of do. I get a bad rap for that. I'm like selfish like that. I take a little bit of offense to that.
You are selfish like that. On Meat Friday, I've never heard you say, hey, guys, maybe we don't take as much so the backroom guys can get something.
I often try to eat as much as I can before 12:15. And hope that somehow there'll be enough left for the rest of the group. So I guess in that case, I'm sorry.
You're right.
Never mind, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you, Todd. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow, this day in sports history, all of that coming up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Here's a stat for you. We were curious, the most points scored in a game by a player born in 2000 or later. Kobe White is on there a couple times, three times. Zion Williamson is on there, but topping the list is Tyler Hero at 37. Kobe White had, and I don't even, because he plays for the Bulls and nobody cared about the Bulls this year. He had February 22nd, he had 33. February 23rd, he had 33. February 25th, he had 35. He was the guy that I think we knew him because of his hair.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought he would come into the league as more of a point guard because he shoots. He's kind of that combo guard, 6'4", shoot first, pass second.
Yeah. They're usually shoot first and then shoot second and then pass third. This was another thing that I saw you might be interested in. The Tampa Bay Rays, they clinched the American League East. They have the third lowest payroll in baseball. Their payroll is about 1/4 of the Yankees. And if you divide each team's win and you put money attached to it, the Rays are paying about $800,000 per win compared to $3.4 million per win for the Yankees, $3.8 million per win for the last place Red Sox. The Yankees, the payroll is 109. Red Sox, no, that's not right. So the wins, cost per win. Yankees 3.4, Red Sox 3.8. The Blue Jays at 1.9. The Orioles at $1 million. Fritzy, who's on Friday's show?
I do not know just yet who's on Friday's
show. You're taking the day off of my birthday too, huh?
I don't know who's on Friday's show. I'm working on some things.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious, you know, because I usually promote who's going
to
be on.
It's always helpful to have at least one guest secure so you could promote at least that one, if not several guests.
Yeah, because people might not tune in tomorrow.
But at this moment, it's a TBA, as we like to call it.
Who could be joining?
Could be all kinds of people. Don't have a good feel for that just yet.
All right.
I'd hate to throw out names and then break everybody's heart if it doesn't come
just through. Enjoy your cake, all right? Have your cake and eat it too, Todd.
I'm going to the dentist this afternoon. That's exciting.
Yeah, and then you're taking Monday off?
Well, I don't know if you could call it an off day. I'm not going to be on a yacht somewhere. I'm having a colonoscopy in Yom Kippur.
I didn't say you're going on vacation.
Yeah, I just said you're off on Monday. Yeah. I get defensive.
But most people take a day off so they could do something fun, not to have a colonoscopy and fast and be miserable.
But how many days off this month are you taking, Todd?
this is what I'm dealing with. Is what I have to put up with.
Should you be eating cake and then you go to the dentist?
That's a fantastic point. I didn't even think about that.
It's like taking your car off-road and before you take it again.
Why did I do that?
Car wash.
That was a terrible, terrible idea.
Oh, look who wants to wish you a happy birthday, Paulie. Craig in Pennsylvania. Hi, Craig.
Oh, Craigers.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
Oh, great. Great.
Good. Happy birthday, Paulie. And hopefully for your sake, the Bears will go 3-0 for your birthday.
Thanks. Don't be a stranger. Call in, Craig.
Yeah, we haven't heard from you in a while, Craig.
Yeah, well, it's nice to hear from you guys. And like I said, just have a happy birthday. I tried to call in for Dan's birthday, and I didn't get through. And then I had a birthday in August. I actually turned 40, and I was going to call in for that one, but I didn't. So at least I got to call in for Paulie's.
Happy birthday, Craig. Thank you. It's Craig in Pennsylvania.
He was going to call in for his own birthday. That's something I would do. Hey, guys. There's a chance for you guys to wish me happy birthday. Yeah. I want that to come and go off the calendar.
Or you'll get somebody who'll say, hey, it's my birthday. Can you wish me a happy birthday? Well, I guess. Yeah. Happy birthday.
The card must have got lost in the mail. I don't know. My birthday came and went. Nobody acknowledged it.
I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but my wife tried to pull this on me. She wanted a birthday week. And I said, "That, honey, that's not happening. Like, you get a gift by being married to me every day. Like, you don't need a week. All right?
You didn't actually say that out loud. It was just something you were thinking in your head.
No, I did say it.
You said that to her.
Yes. She laughed.
And how lucky are you?
Yeah. Yes.
Be celebrating me today.
Yes, that's true. I'm going to take that bow off my head right now. I'm quite the package. this day in sports history, Paul.
I wish I could cut my wife's birthday down to a week. If we get to March 7th, it's like March Madness. It's this three-week festival. It's like Mardi Gras. All right. This day in sports history, 1934, Babe Ruth played his final game as a New York Yankee. The Brooklyn Dodgers in 1957 played their final game at Ebbets Field. Mm-hmm. In 1989, O.J. Simpson was a guest on the 15th anniversary special of Saturday Night Live. For some reason, he's not been back to the show since.
Hello, Twitter world.
Oh, well, O.J.
That would be a wild guest host for SNL.
Yeah. Hello, Twitter world.
Triple the ratings.
He's always on a golf course. Can always hear, he's always outside. You can hear the wind whipping in Florida or wherever
We've
is.
We've got Ariana Grande here with us today. Musical performance.
Musical guest, Ariana Grande.
G.E. Smith and the Saturday Night Live Band.
Special guest, Al Collins.
People call me Juice.
Hello, Twitter world.
God. Here on the golf course again.
Yeah, of course.
Want to make sure everybody gets out and vote.
Really? That's, what? You know, I wasn't going to vote, but OJ, you're really convincing.
Yeah. Let me see. Final results of the poll question there, McLeod.
If you had a redraft, who's going number one? Ja Morant runs away with it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think we overreacted a little bit on Tyler Hero. It was a wonderful performance, but, you know, let's build up a few more of those. It's a little bit more inventory, and then we can see. Is he going to be a consistent player? When does he get his own? When he gets his own team, if he gets his own team, you know, is he able to do that every single night? I mean, that's the true test. Ja Morant went into every game, and defenses went, we got to stop Ja Morant. Teams aren't going into Miami Heat games going, we got to shut down Tyler Hero. Now, they might this next game, but that usually doesn't happen. You're trying to shut down Zion Williamson. How did Zion finish third in the Rookie of the Year?
He played 24 games.
But what did he do in those 24 games?
He scored 23 points a game and shot 60% from the field.
Exactly.
So he should have been higher. But he played like less than half the games.
Well, the guy with the Heat, what is Nunn?
Kendrick Nunn, yeah.
Yeah. What were his numbers? Like, did he play all the games? Therefore, that meant that he was more of a Rookie of the Year?
And by the way, where is he?
He hadn't played much. All right, let's go around the room what we learned on the program. I'm going to start... Todd, I'm going to start with you.
All right. We can't understand how the voice of NFL Films, John Facenda, isn't in the Pro Football Hall of Fame right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I got to ask some people who know some people who know some people. Because John Facenda, got to be in the Hall of Fame. McLovin, what did you learn?
That Kendrick Nunn scored 15 a game.
Okay, that's a nice season.
Yeah.
Cast off from the Golden State Warriors, but still. I probably would have had Zion as number two. Yes, Seton. What did you learn?
Kevin Harlan, Fritzy.
Toss up.
Yeah,
I can't really tell the difference between you two. And you guys look a lot alike, too. Paulie, what did you learn today?
Fritzy has used kitchen utensils twice in his life, both on my birthday.
What have I learned, Todd?
Jason Jackson's well-done mock headline, and then a hero comes along. Shout-out to Mariah Carey.
Not a sub. He's a hero. Home Depot is giving a shout-out to all the pros that work hard every day. Delivery options to get you what you need, exactly when you need it, where you need it. Keep doing the job. And doing it right. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. It's been our pleasure to serve you. We'll join you tomorrow on a Meet Friday. Thanks. Talk to you then.